It is now time for our featured segment, ladies and gentlemen. It is called Mic Check. And it's taken directly from the Ward report this week, the Ward Post this week. Reform the UN Security Council, strengthen international orders. And now with Russia's invasion of the Ukraine, who stops Vladimir Putin now? Anthony, please introduce our very special guest.
We're asking our special guest on Mic Check this morning. He is attorney Curtis Ward, and he is a former ambassador of Jamaica to the United Nations with special responsibility for Security Council affairs. And subsequently, Ambassador Ward served as expert advisor and liaison with regional and international organizations at the UN Counterterrorism Committee, where he developed and led the CTC Global Counterterrorism Technical Assistance Capacity Building Program. He has participated in dozens of fora as key speaker, keynote speaker, panelist, and roundtable participant, and he has lectured and written on subjects related to global security, anti-money laundering, countering terrorism, finances, Caribbean regional security, human rights, rule of law, democracy, and global and regional geopolitical issues. And Ambassador Ward is currently an adjunct professor, Homeland Security graduate program at the University of the District of Columbia, and he's a former adjunct lecturer at George Washington University Elliott School of International Affairs. So we welcome Curtis Ward, certainly no stranger here at Groovin' Radio once again.
Good morning, Ambassador. How are you?
Oh, I'm very fine, thank you. Thanks for having me back to your program.
Well, you know, Ambassador, it is going to be a regular thing, you know, because when I look at the Ward Post and I look at the stuff that you're putting out there, as a former ambassador from Jamaica to the United Nations, you also sat on the Security Council there at the United Nations. Who best to talk to you about a subject matter like this? And as I read through your latest post, reform UN Security Council and strengthen international order. It is not new to talk about reforming the UN Security Council. And now with the Russian invasion of the Ukraine, who really stops Vladimir Putin now? But let's talk about reforming the UN Security Council first and strengthening international order. Talk to us about that.
Well, when I served on the Security Council 2000-2001, mm-hmm. my goodness, it's so many years since, mm-hmm. we found very quickly, at least I found very quickly, that the Security Council could not responsibly respond to international peace and security crises with the veto power and the threat of the veto power held by the permanent members of the Security Council. Mm-hmm. The permanent five, the P5 as we refer to them,
right,
are China, France, Russia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. And what that means is that any one of these countries with a negative vote, if the issue comes to a vote, block any action by the UN Security Council. But it goes beyond just the veto power during the vote. Mm-hmm. The mere threat that they can veto any meaningful action, right, circumscribes and limits what the UN Security Council can really do.
Wow.
And under the UN Charter, mm-hmm. the UN Security Council, made up of 15 members, 5 permanent mm-hmm. and 10 rotating members, elected by the General Assembly, they have the exclusive authority under international law for the maintenance of international peace and security, with provision that any action determined by the Security Council all UN member states are required by virtue of their membership mm-hmm. in the UN to carry out those orders. So while the UN itself does not have a military force, mm-hmm. any action determined by the Security Council must be supported by countries with the ability to provide that support.
Mm. Now, you talk about the P6. Russia,
P5.
Russia, as a part of the P5. Wasn't Russia recently removed from the UN Security Council for some... weren't they removed recently?
No, not from the Security Council. Security Council, they were removed from the Human Rights Commission.
Okay. They were removed
from... They served mm-hmm. on the Human Rights Commission
mm-hmm.
by election through the General Assembly.
Right.
In order to remove any member of the Permanent Five,
right.
P5,
mm-hmm.
from the Security Council, you have to amend the Charter, number one.
Right.
Number two, under the provisions of the Charter, it can only be amended if the P5 members agree to the amendment.
Wow. What happens now, though, with the invasion, with Russia's invasion of the Ukraine? What happens now? Because they're part of the Permanent Five. You could call it the Powerful Five. I mean, what happens now to Russia with all the atrocities that are taking place?
The only way we can deal with Russia
mm-hmm.
is not within the Security Council, but outside of it and in spite of it. In other words, coalition of countries have to come together and impose penalties such as the sanctions led by the United States
right.
and Europe against Putin. But what we have to see when these countries come together to impose sanctions
mm-hmm.
is that all other countries around the world agree to support these sanctions. You see, if the Security Council impose sanctions,
mm-hmm.
all countries, all 193 members
mm-hmm.
of the United Nations are, under the provisions of the Charter, obligated to implement and enforce the sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
But when sanctions are imposed, what we call bilateral sanctions, by individual countries such as the U.S. and its coalition partners, the EU and Canada and so on, other countries are not obligated legally
mm-hmm.
to implement and enforce those sanctions. They may be obligated morally.
Right.
And it is the right thing to do, but nobody can force them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, for instance, the U.S. and its partners have the capacity and the political will to impose what we call secondary sanctions, because against those who refuse to implement the primary sanctions.
Mm.
But that does take a lot of political will
right.
to effect that kind of imposition of secondary sanctions.
Mm.
And there are all kinds of factors which will intervene. So we have to call upon countries not imposing or enforcing sanctions against Russia, which those of us who believe these sanctions are justified, considering the invasion of Ukraine, a sovereign country,
mm-hmm.
and the atrocities
yeah.
of the Russian military against the people of Ukraine. Those of us who believe that Russia should be punished for this believe that those countries not supporting the sanctions are acting immorally.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest this Saturday morning right here on Grooving Radio is former ambassador from Jamaica to the United Nations, Ambassador Curtis Ward. How divided are we now, Ambassador? 5 weeks later, as we watch democracy being trampled on in the Ukraine, a sovereign country, as you just mentioned. Recently, the United Nations came under some scrutiny. Yeah? Came under new scrutiny. And we're watching hundreds and hundreds of people being taken out of mass graves. How divided are we?
Well, I think emotionally, we are not divided. Mm-hmm. Morally, we are divided. Because there are countries that are not enforcing these sanctions against Russia. Some countries talk a good talk, but when time comes to action, they abdicate the responsibilities that civilized countries are expected to adhere to. You know, the two most populous countries in the world, China, an autocratic country, authoritarian in every respect of the word, and India, a democratic country.
Right.
And both of these countries are putting their personal national interest above the interest of the broader international community. Who will hold these countries responsible? Collectively, I don't believe there is any means to do so at the moment. But individually, as countries, sovereign countries around the world, including countries in the Caribbean, can, if they have the political will, hold these countries responsible in terms of the relationship that they have and develop with these countries.
Wow.
Question here. Political will.
Political will. The consequences of war. Anthony Turner, I know you're there eager to ask the professor a question. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Professor Ward.
How are you?
Yeah, man, boy, there's just so many things. And one, I think, probably the best place to
before
start.
Before you ask a question, you use a term there, so many things. Well, I'd just like to say this, and unfortunately, my time doesn't permit me to go into some of those issues. But there are many other things going on around the world. That we are not looking at today because of what's happening in Ukraine.
Definitely.
For instance, in Palestine. But let's not go there right now.
And you know, just to spend 60 seconds on it, though, and people should pay attention. People should pay attention to what's really happening in Palestine right now. And there are people who also have medical issues who are seeking help and cannot even get across the border to go over in Israel to be treated. People are just dropping dead again because of the atrocities that are taking place in the Ukraine. The world is now focusing on that. But as you said, Ambassador, there's a lot
of
things. Yes, the world is in trouble. Anthony, go ahead.
Professor Ward, I just wanted to kind of go back to your tenure on the Security Council when you're ambassador. And, you know, I was reading your blog and you're saying that we defied the odds back then. There was six or eight members of the non-aligned movement that included Jamaica. And you spoke about the high respect that the Jamaica delegation had in the council. Can you just talk a little bit about Jamaica back in those days, and how are we still respected in the council now, the Jamaica delegation?
Well, two things, or three things. One, we are not on the council right now, okay? But when I spoke of the respect for Jamaica on the council, I don't want anybody to forget that Jamaica was highly respected across the board, not just in the council. In the entire UN system, globally, Jamaica was highly respected. Jamaica was a leader in the non-aligned movement. Jamaica was a leader in the G77. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you name it, on any issue, many countries in the developing world looked to Jamaica for leadership. Mm-hmm. And we provided it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was very natural for me, when I was on the Security Council, to lead in the non-aligned movement among the members on the council. And because of the voting procedures in the council, no resolution can be approved without at least 9 affirmative votes,
mm-hmm,
and no negative P5 vote. If you have 6 to 8 members,
mm-hmm,
in the council, and one time I think we had 8. If we have 8 members in the council who are determined to stick together on an issue, the only way a resolution will pass,
mm-hmm,
is if we break. Because they must have at least 9.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we cannot push through a revolution even with our numbers, because a P5, any one P5 member can block it. But we had a great example in October 2002. I'm sorry, 2000. I don't know if you will recall the intifada that took place in Israel and Palestine, in the Palestinian issue.
Mm-hmm.
We were able, as the non-aligned coalition in the council, to push a resolution on the Middle East which condemned equally Israel and the Palestinians for the violence.
Mm-hmm.
This was unprecedented, because any such resolution prior to that would have been vetoed by the United States.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, it took us several days, late hour discussions in the council, in private consultations in the council, to arrive at a point where we voted on the resolution. I had a personal showdown with the ambassador of the United States and challenged him for the U.S. to stand up and veto the resolution if they wish.
Mm-hmm.
But don't keep delaying and using all the delaying strategy. I remember President Clinton was in office.
Mm-hmm.
And the ambassador, the late Holbrooke, left the room and later came back and said, President Clinton himself is asking us to delay the vote. I said, okay, we will delay the vote, but by tomorrow, we want a determination.
Mm.
If you are going to veto it publicly, mm-hmm, in the council.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hide behind the private consultation.
Wow.
Well, the U.S. abstained on the resolution, and we were able to adopt it. Look, we were in a council until 3 a.m. the Friday night, Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
We were back there Saturday until 3 a.m. Sunday morning.
Mm.
And it wasn't until Sunday afternoon we got the vote. Okay? And I later watched the Charlie Rose show one Friday evening after Ambassador Holbrook had left the government. Bush had now become president. And he told Charlie Rose that his biggest regret during his time at the UN is not to have vetoed that resolution.
Wow. Wow.
It wasn't easy, but because of the respect, I tell you this story, is because of the respect that we had earned in the Security Council that we were able to stand up and force the U.S., because every other delegation, the other 14 members, including the other four members of the P5, supported our resolution. So the U.S. was isolated, but that was not unusual on the Middle East question.
Wow.
They were isolated all the time, but they didn't care. But most of these resolutions never come to a vote because of the U.S. threat of the veto. You will have noticed in my article, I gave a complete set of quotes from the BBC News in January 2002. And as I said up front, reforming the Security Council is not a new issue. But I made it very clear in that interview with BBC in January 2002 that the very threat of the veto is a problem that calls for reform of the UN Security Council. 22 years plus later. Or 20 years later. We are still waiting.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Grooving Radio. A very special guest this morning on Mic Check is former ambassador from Jamaica to the United Nations, Professor Curtis Ward. As we watch democracy being tested all over the world, this and misinformation ambassador, former President Barack Obama spoke this week, and he issued a stern warning about disinformation. Their folks listening to us now, Ambassador, have no idea. Have no idea why Russia is in the Ukraine. How did we get here? How? I mean, what promises were broken? Who promised who, what, and when? Because something went wrong. Seriously.
It's interesting that you should ask me that question. I just completed writing an article which I haven't yet posted just a few minutes ago talking about defense of democracy. And I gave a little bit of the conditions that prevailed leading up to the invasion. I you know, I don't have time in my article to go into a whole lot of details, but I tried to break it down as quickly as I can, in short possible space as I can. But I believe I may have answered some of those questions in that article. I don't want to print the article.
And, you know, I didn't see the article, Ambassador, but, you know, as I listened and I watched and I see this, and I'm also looking at the mysterious deaths, and I hope folks are paying attention. You saw the mysterious deaths of two Russian oligarchs and their family this week.
And it's actually four. It's actually four now. Four deaths of oligarchs since the invasion. But two just this past few days. But listen, listen, people are forgetting everything up to the present day. This is how the public focuses on what is happening. 24-hour news cycle. You know, they have forgotten the quid pro quo and the impeachment, the first impeachment.
Pretty much so.
You know?
Pretty much so.
Trump defied the will of the U.S. Congress and bluffed military assistance
to the Ukraine.
You ask how we got there? You consider the message that was sent to Vladimir Putin.
When that happened?
Yeah.
When that happened?
Okay. Okay. All right. Wait. Look out for my article.
While you're talking about that ambassador award, when we come back, I want to talk about, because all of this ties into even the elections or midterm elections coming up and the presidential election coming up in 2024. Could we have a future Trump or Trump-like administration in the U.S. and how could that affect the Security Council?
And the mere fact that tomorrow there is an election in France and Macron, one second, Macron is going up against Le Pen, who's from a far, far right family. And what we're seeing now, ladies and gentlemen, is that the world has produced a lot of far right leaders who are making a lot of rounds and a lot of grounds in major countries in the world. My name is Ras Clem, and this is Grooving Radio. We're going to take a 3-minute break. When we come back after the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to continue our conversation with former ambassador from Jamaica to the United Nations, Professor Curtis Ward, reform UN Security Council, and strengthen international orders. Stay where you are, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the final 25 minutes of our Grooving Radio's presentation this Saturday morning. My name is Ras Clem. We are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, the conversation this morning. Reform UN Security Council and strengthen international orders. It is taken directly from the Ward Post. Our very special guest this Saturday morning, once again, is ambassador and professor, former ambassador from Jamaica to the United Nations, who also sat on the UN Security Council, Professor Curtis Ward. Anthony Turner is also a part of the conversation. Welcome back, ambassador.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Welcome back, Anthony.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to throw the ball over into your court now, Anthony. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the implications for the upcoming midterm election and the presidential election and, you know, the possibility of a future Trump or Trump-like administration controlling the Senate and all of that, and how it's going to impact potentially on the Security Council veto, a problem for much of the democratic world. What are your thoughts, Ambassador?
But Anthony, I'm not sure it was you or Rastem who mentioned Obama's statement about misinformation.
Yes, yes, I did.
Okay. Misinformation thrives because the media keeps repeating it over and over and over in order to make their point. Inadvertently giving more airtime to the misinformation than it deserves. Secondly, the counter-narrative, which is expected from those who know better, those who have correct information, is far less in intensity and frequency as the misinformation that is being fed to the public. So it is not the fault of the misinformation. It is the fault of those who have the platform to speak the truth and are silenced because they believe the truth is taken in by the public through osmosis and not through their ears or your eyes. on the television screen. So this has to be corrected. And yes, indeed, the implications for the midterm elections are grave. Mm-hmm. Because the messaging from the Democratic Party is not highlighting the issues, number one. And number two, the Democratic Party is not concentrating on what Biden has done for the country, mm-hmm. but on what Biden has not been able to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big error, and it will have implications for the midterm. Unless between now and then, a corrected course can be consistently driven down into the information sector of the United States.
Mm. We're only weeks away from the June primaries. We're months away from the November midterm election. And, you know, if you watch and see what's going on around the world, I mentioned before we took the break that tomorrow there will be an election in France. And although polls are favoring that President Macron can win again, he's going up against a far-right candidate, which leads me now to ask this question. When you look at some of the leaders around the world and you look at some of these people who are getting involved in politics, and I don't want to leave our native Jamaica out of this also, because when I look at some of the actions of some of our leaders in Jamaica, it seems to me that there are some dictatorship taking place there. How and when did we get to the point, Ambassador, that we have developed so many? We have produced so many of these far-right leaders. It seems to me like over the last couple of years, they've just fallen out of the woodwork and they have gotten onto major tickets around the world. Hmm?
I could answer that in one word.
Go ahead, sir.
Trump. But let me elaborate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
During the Trump administration, we saw president in the White House who was autocratic leaning, or some say autocratic to the core, who set example for other political leaders around the world, who did things and got away with it. He was impeached twice. The first time he should have been removed from office, but his actions were aided and abetted by a Republican Senate and other Republican representative elected officials. Now, when small countries with small fledgling democracies see a powerful country like the United States with a president that can do these things with impunity, it emboldens them. We saw the rise of the right wing and racist, homophobic, and so on forces in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We see it across Europe, triggered somewhat by the influx of refugees from different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned countries like Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
It is the apathy within civil society that allows leaders to push beyond what is considered good governance,
mm-hmm.
to push the democratic boundaries. Why? Two things. They have overwhelming parliamentary majorities,
mm-hmm.
and the people are apathetic. The citizens are not defending
mm-hmm.
the rights
mm-hmm.
that they cherish. And they are allowing governments to do things and get away with them, not just in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
across
mm-hmm.
the Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
and certainly in other countries in the world. But you consider in Jamaica, a few people may come out for 2 or 3 days
mm-hmm.
and hold up placards. And I said, a few people,
mm-hmm.
10 or less.
Right.
And it may be reported with a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Not even an analysis of the issues. Okay? Just a photograph and a two-line report. And that's the extent of the coverage. But why should it be only one or two or three or ten people? Why aren't hundreds taken to the streets? Don't they understand
right
what is at risk?
At stake here.
How many people voted in the last election in Jamaica? About 30%.
Yes.
30%.
Yes. Yes.
Of the eligible voters.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that, maybe 15 or 20% elected a government
right.
with an overwhelming majority in the parliament. Just think about it. Less than 25% of the people of Jamaica
yes.
choose a government that governs 100% of the people of Jamaica.
Mm, is that amazing? And you know, Ambassador, you talk about that demonstration. And just think what recently happened in Jamaica when the Duke and the Duchess got to Jamaica, paid a visit to Jamaica. You hear Jamaicans talk about time to break away from the Queen, time to become a republic. But when you look at the demonstration that took place in Jamaica, it was only a handful of people who actually came out to demonstrate.
Yep.
You had more people, listeners, you had more people, Ambassador Anthony Turner, you have more people showing up in Trenchtown trying to meet and greet the slave owners. But then on the other hand, there were only a few Jamaicans who were brave enough to go demonstrate. And let the Duke and the Duchess know it's time for an apology, it's time for reparation, and it's time to say goodbye to the Queen as our head of state. And you talk about the media's role now. Don't start me up now, Ambassador. You talk about the media's role because we get lost in a lot of things when we present a program like this. Or when the ambassador have his podcast, which we're going to talk about, when the ambassador puts up the wall post, how many of you spend the time to read it? It leads me now, Ambassador, because you have written some amazing stories, not only about democracy and stuff like that. And by the way, as we talk about democracy being tested around the world, part of my conversation tomorrow with Professor Rosalie Hamilton is how divided is CARICOM, because you see the division taking place in CARICOM as we speak. So now we have a division in on the world stage when it comes to the UN and who wants to sanction who and who support what sanction. You have people calling, what can NATO do right now? Who stops Vladimir Putin? Has hundreds of thousands of people are just being slaughtered? Huh? This is out of this world. Tell our listeners, Ambassador, the Ward Post and your podcast, Real Talk with Ambassador Curtis Ward, where can they find it?
They can find my podcast on all of the popular podcast players, whether it be Google, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, you name it. It's available. Just have to look. Real Talk with Ambassador Curtis Ward. But I want to congratulate you on getting Professor Rosalie Hamilton to come to your program. I just sent her an email trying to get her on my podcast.
This will be
to discuss the same issues that you will be discussing with her.
Wow, wow.
Hasn't responded yet. I hope she's listening in.
Well, you know what? I'll get her to respond.
Yes. But because, as you know, mm-hmm. I have been writing, mm-hmm. and my recent podcast about CARICOM needing a renaissance is also dealing with the lack of foreign policy coordination and so on. And I've been lining up some people to discuss CARICOM further with me. But you mentioned in leading up to this, and while I want to tell everybody, visit the Ward Post, www.thewardpost.com, or listen to my podcast, I want to address some of those issues you just raised about the large crowds in Frenchtown and the few people marching in front of the British Embassy uptown. Okay? Now, downtown in Frenchtown, thousands of people turned out to see the royal couple. But guess what? They also liked celebrity. Jamaicans love celebrity. They don't think of the issues. They think of the celebrity status of the individual. They were the organizers were smart enough to bring in two of the most popular footballers known to Jamaicans, Raheem Sterling and Young Bailey, to play soccer, play football in Frenchtown with the Duke or the Prince or whatever he is, right? There were no Usain Bolts or Shirley Ann Fraser Price or other celebrities at the uptown demonstration. Just think about the staging. But then compare that just up the road from the British Embassy. Not very far. Jamaica House. Not Jamaica House. The Governor General's mansion. God, what do you call it?
King's House.
Should be Queen's House now.
Well, we call it King's House.
Yeah. They had a function there for the Prince William and his wife Kate. And from both spectrums of the political spectrum in Jamaica, they were dressed
to the T
in their black ties and beautiful gowns.
Ambassador.
To worship at the feet of the prince. Okay?
Ambassador.
Look, I don't want to.
But why are we even calling it okay. King's House, Ambassador?
I don't
ambassador.
Even want but, to
no, King
discuss right. Ambassador yeah. Anthony.
You know,
because
yes.
I am flabbergasted.
It is very, very disturbing. And I spoke about that. As a matter of fact, the last time Professor Rosalie Hamilton was here, that was part of the discussion in terms of should Jamaica break away from the Queen and become a republic. And, you know, we spoke about Jamaica at this moment and the what Jamaica missed on that opportunity to tell the Duke and the Duchess to their face, all right, that stopping short of an apology is not accepted. And
no.
you were right. We don't see the mega stars in Jamaica protesting. No. We see them tearing down fences trying to meet and greet these celebrities. That's for another program, Professor. Ambassador Curtis Ward. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest, and I urge you to support The Ward Post. It's www.thewardpost.com. You can also catch Ambassador Curtis Ward, Real Talk on podcast, Real Talk with Ambassador Curtis Ward. You will stay one step ahead. There's so much that you can learn, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to thank you so much, Ambassador, because our listening audience certainly appreciate love your appearance here on Grooving Radio. And the information you serve up right here with us whenever you're on, it is priceless. And that is why I have reached out to you time and time again to come and share with us, to talk, have these serious conversation. And, you know, as you mentioned before we took the break, pay attention, folks. Pay attention to what's going on in places like Palestine. As because all eyes are now focused on the Ukraine, All eyes are now focused on the atrocities taking place in the Ukraine. We forgot that the world continues to run, and there are other things that are germane to us, and there are other things that are important to us that we should pay very, very close attention. 60 seconds, Ambassador. Your closing remarks this morning, sir.
Well, I want to close by saying that I really appreciate this program. I really appreciate what you're doing, because most of the programming that we have mm-hmm. on our ethnic radio stations mm-hmm. across the diaspora is that people want revelry. They want music.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to face reality. And it is very important that we continue mm-hmm. to send the message to all of our people in the diaspora and mm-hmm. in the Caribbean region
mm-hmm.
that the geopolitics of the world and that which is practiced by the major powers
mm-hmm.
directly affect all of us.
Definitely.
And we must be vigilant. We must continue mm-hmm. to be informed
mm-hmm.
and inform ourselves. We must be inquisitive.
Definitely.
We must continue to expand our knowledge.
Yes, sir.
Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
we will fall for the misinformation
mm.
that former President Barack Obama spoke about.
Mm. Thank you so much, Ambassador. It is said, you know, the more you know, the better it is. And there are folks here who recognize the work that we're doing. The programs that follows us, Wake Up Radio with Carl B. Moxie, over the last couple of weeks, he has echoed some sentiments about grooving radio, especially our mic check segment, and we should podcast them and we should archive them. Yes, we're doing so. We are having them up posted on our website, and we are also having them rebroadcast on other programs, because, again, we have such small time here, but we use it wisely. And we thank you, Ambassador. Thank you so much for being a part of our programming. And that is why we support the Ward Post. That's why we support Real Talk with Ambassador Curtis Ward. We'll do it
thank
again,
you
Ambassador.
Very much.
You're very welcome,
thank
sir.
You. It's always a pleasure.
One love, my brother. One love. We'll talk soon, Ambassador.
Okay, Ambassador.
One love. Take care.
Thank
care.
You.